Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Go Digit Q2 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anshuman Deb from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Sagar. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a privilege to host the senior management team of Go Digit General Insurance. I now hand over the call to Chairman, Mr. Kamesh Goyal. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Anshuman, and good evening, everyone, for joining our conference call for the Q2 results. As always, we'll try and quickly go through the presentation, and then we'll spend time on the question and answers. I'm now on slide one. The premium in H1 has been 5,649 crores. Market share in overall is 3.4%. Motor is 6.5%. Product portfolio continues to be good. Now we have added a couple of products in this quarter. Policies issued 7.6 crore since inception. AUM have now increased to 21,345 crore, and customer satisfaction score continues to be good. We'll speak about the figures relating to financial performance in a bit more detail. Moving to the next slide. In quarter two, we have done a premium of 2,667 crore, and as you can see this with the asterisk at the bottom, this is on a 1/N basis. If we do it without 1/N, last year quarter two was without 1/N, then this number would be 2,739 crore compared to 2,369 crore of last year. Our premium retention ratio is 79.1%. Loss ratio this quarter of 73%. Combined ratio this quarter is 111.4%. If we compare it to last year and we do it without 1/N, which is applicable in this quarter, quarter two 25, this was without 1/N, then the combined ratio has improved to 109.9% compared to 112.2% of same quarter last year. Profit before tax have increased to 136 crore compared to 89 crore, while profit after tax this year is 117 crore. Last year, you might recall, we did not pay any tax, so PBT and PAT was the same. This 117 is at a tax rate of 14%, which we expect to be for the entire year, and next year onwards, we'll move to the full tax rate of 25%. This tax rate is also mentioned in the slide below. The average ROE on the IGAAP net worth is 2.8% non-annualized. The net worth has increased to 4,290 crore compared to 3,805 crore of last year. Solvency ratio is 2.26, which has increased from 2.18 of same quarter last year. This year, if you look at the below comments, we are making one new disclosure this year. As you know, we always disclose IFRS results audited based on suggestions coming in from some of you. We are also saying that this year, as of 30th September, we had deferred acquisition cost post-tax of 1,708 crore. What this basically means is that this profit should, this deferred acquisition cost, which has already been incurred in IGAAP and which is there in IFRS, will benefit the profit going forward. We expect 710 crore out of 1,708 crore would actually unwind in H2 by way of benefiting the IGAAP results. Obviously, in IFRS, this would not really make a change. Now, some other points relating to growth, etc., which we can cover in the next slide. So when we look at the growth rate, this year our growth rate without 1/N is 15.6%. The industry grew by 10% on a without 1/N basis, and our growth rate is 12.6% on a 1/N basis overall. When we look at motor OD, TP, and I am now looking at towards the right-hand side, GWP growth for Q2 26, and comparing it with the industry, which is the last column in the below table, you would actually see that we have grown in every single line of business. OD 12.6 against 5.6 of the industry, TP 8.6 against industry 7.4, health, travel, and PA 36 against industry's 9. Fire is, as you know, we have been focusing on commercial lines. This has grown at 60.8% against industry's 27.6%. Others is only an area where we have degrown at minus 19% compared to industry's degrowth of minus 5. So gross written premium from that perspective, the growth and market share continues to be good. Now when we look at overall in terms of the premium which we have not accounted for in our books due to 1/N is 136 crores. And however, all acquisition cost has already been provided for. So I think you would recall that since last year itself, from October to December 24 quarter, we have been deferring the premium, but all acquisition costs are provided in every quarter results. So there is really nothing which has not been provided for. The impact of on this on H1 COR would be say about 0.2% in the acquisition cost. When we are looking at in terms of various growth items, private car business, we continue to do well. And when we look at our OD versus TP bifurcation for the industry and for us, last year this number was 37% OD for us and 63% TP. Industry was 41% OD and 59% TP. This year we have moved to 38% OD and 62% TP, so 1% reduction in TP, 1% increase in OD, while industry continues to be 41 and 59. Just to remind that second quarter was from a private car perspective, the sales were not that great, and sales only picked up from 22nd September onwards when the GST was reduced and the Navratras period started. I may add here that our market share in motor OD is now 6.2%, and this is the highest we have had for any quarter since the start of the company, roughly about 8 years back. In case of new cars, from September 22nd to say 24th of October, our premium in new car sales, we actually have a growth of about 24%. So private car segment and two-wheeler continues to do well. Another data point which I think motors I would want to share with you is that our mix of private car, two-wheeler and CV in this quarter is 45% in private car, 30% in two-wheeler, and commercial vehicle is 25%. Two-wheeler business, most of it comes from the new two-wheelers, and as everyone knows, in case of new two-wheelers business, while commission for 5 years is provided upfront, the premium earned is over a period of 5 years. So OD premium you earned, you put in the net premium in the first year itself, you earn it in the first year. But TP premium of the future years goes towards earning in the future. So when we look at this mix in our knowledge out of motor business of this scale or similar to the scale which we have, no insurance company has a mix of 30% in two-wheeler business. Now, on one side, it gives you the AUM from an investment income perspective. But because the fact that you earn much lower premium in the first year, but you provide for the commission for 5 years upfront, this obviously has a very major impact on the P&L. When we look at this quarter two, compared to last year, we have done 117 crore of more two-wheeler business. So last year, we did 334 crore in Q2 in two-wheeler. And this year, we have done, this is new two-wheeler business only I'm talking about. This year, we have done 451 crore. This additional 117 crore has impacted our P&L to an extent of 53 crore of loss. Because the growth is so strong, proportion of two-wheeler is really strong. This has impacted our quarterly combined ratio by 2%. So the impact of two-wheeler business and high growth is something which is really, really substantial. And we obviously have a fairly high market share on an all-India basis in case of two-wheeler. Other business, I would, if there are any questions, I would actually cover in more details. Fire, commercial lines like marine, engineering, and liability, all of them put together, we have grown by about 53%. Fire, I have already explained, we grew by about 60%, more than two times the industry, leading to an overall growth rate of about 12.6% after one by N. Now, moving forward in terms of the motor mix as such, as we know that new vehicle sales in H1, at least till 22nd September, was not that great compared to previous year, which also was not that great for new vehicle sales. Our mix, as I said, is 45 for private car, 30 for two-wheeler, and 25 for CV. As per our analysis, every increase of 1% of private car mix from two-wheeler will reduce the company's COR by 0.1. So we're just trying to give this color to basically say product mix plays a very, very important role in the Indian P&L. Obviously, things change substantially when you move to IFRS, where two-wheeler business would actually, because the commission which you are paying upfront will get deferred over the policy period. So this is something we just wanted to bring this across because, as I said, we are seeing very high growth in the two-wheeler business, which obviously under Indian accounting puts pressure on the profitability. Now, moving to the next slide in terms of combined ratio, I've already covered that if we compare like to like, our combined ratio last year was 112.2. This year, without one by N, it will be 109.9. With one by N, it will be 111.4. Good news is from October 25 onwards, everything will be on one by N basis, so we don't really have to look at two, three numbers separately. Claims ratio here is 73%, and overall expense ratio has reduced to 38.4. Profit after tax in the last here is 136, out of which 19 crore is for the tax and 117 crore is the profit after tax. Going further, I'll cover loss ratios in a bit more detail as always in the next slide. I think when we look at investments, the AUM growth continues to be good. Our leverage has slightly increased from 4.9 to 5.0. And I think if you look at also our overall capital gains in Q2, our capital gains on debt have only been 1.9 crores. So when 1.4 crores, which basically means our yield on the debt fixed income portfolio for the quarter is about 1.9%. So the yield continues to be good here on the fixed income. When we look at, and this also is a disclosure I think we are making for the first time, it was on the first slide, but I thought I'll cover it here. As of 30th September, we have unrealized gains of 677 crore, out of which equity is 326 crore, including AIF and 81 bonds, and others, on the fixed, on the other than equity portfolio is 351. Moving to the next slide in terms of asset allocation, you can actually see that our asset allocation has increased to 7.3% in pure equity, 81 bonds is 10.6, and all others continue to be, fixed income continues to be a very strong portfolio in terms of rating and sovereign bonds. So I think the point I just want to highlight, because this is something which we have continuously discussed in various calls. Last year, as of September 24 for last year period, we actually had an equity of about 2.4%. This increased to 6.4% as of 31st March, which has further increased to 7.3% as of September 25. And I also mentioned that we have been, in hindsight, lucky that we have been able to increase the equity allocation along with increasing the AUM, and we still have a decent amount of unrealized equity gains. So that really is the news on the asset allocation, and in terms of 81 bonds, etc., there is very little movement compared to the previous. Now moving to the loss ratios, here I think if you look at an OD loss ratio in quarter two is 71.3%. If you look at quarter four loss ratio in motor OD was 70.5. In quarter two of 25-26, loss ratio is 71.3, which has impact of roughly about 30 crores due to various floods. On YTD basis, our loss ratio this year continues to be in OD to be 70.3%. Loss ratio of TP is more or less at par with last year. No real change in terms of TP release compared to last year in both H1 last year and H1 of this year. The increase in TP release would be less than 3% or 4% in TP release. So loss ratios and the results are driven by a normalized sort of a TP release as well as normal investment income without any major contribution of the capital gains. And this, as you know, is something we keep looking at. When we look at health business, here the loss ratios increased compared to the previous quarter of Q2. On a yearly basis, if you look at FY25 was 83.8 and F1 26 is 83.9. In this quarter, we wrote some government health business, which last year was in Q3. And this business, obviously, the loss ratio is 90% to 95%. If we had not written this business this quarter, then the health loss ratio for quarter two would have been 80.8%. And as you know, we have most of our health business comes from group business, including large portion coming in from employer-employee. So if you look at our overall health loss ratio with this mix, I would say I think we are doing fairly okay here. The fire loss ratio is slightly more than last year, but the fire earned premium in this quarter is about 30 crores, and this also includes some three large losses which have come, but overall loss ratio I would say continues to be good. engineering also we had one large flood claim, which loss ratio has increased, but in engineering business, the earning of premium is only for the installments you have received. The future premium will continue to come, and that obviously is not included here. So that really is on the loss ratio side. Now moving to IFRS earning, now here as we have discussed a bit in the past, we essentially look at IGAAP results, which is given at the top. Then we basically look at deferred acquisition cost, which is number 4, which is 204. If we combine the two, it comes to 500. And if we provide for a full tax of 25% on this, then in H1, the profit on this basis would have been 400 crores. 400 crores. Without obviously looking at this discounting impact or investment gains. Investment, obviously due to spike in yields, the investment mark-to-market in fixed income as number is much lower. And this number, as on date if you look at, would have already gone up. But as I said, we always look at IGAAP profit plus deferred acquisition provided with full tax, which is coming, as I said, to about 400 crores. And that is how we look at this. And as I also said earlier, our total number on deferred acquisition cost is 1,708 crores as on date. This obviously number will keep changing as we write new business, and out of which 710 crores will get earned in H2 in terms of profit. So I'm just quickly seeing if there's any point I have missed. Otherwise, I think we are good to go now and happy to take any questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, please press star and then 1. Participants, you may press star and then 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from the line of Sanket Godha from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on motor OD. Given 70% loss ratio in general is higher compared to what we have historically reported. Now with the GST thing and new sales improving, IDV is coming down, naturally loss ratios will deteriorate. So just wanted to understand this 70% what you reported, and if you chase new vehicle sales, how much this loss ratios further can increase because of IDV value and premium realization coming down? And the second thing in related to that, can you tell me whether it will be ROE accretive still because of the advance premium or the float what you will get? That's one first question on OD part. And second question is on TP. How much exposure you have in the TP, the 25% of the business to CV TP segment where the GST cut has been from 12 to 5 and you have full input credit benefit. So how do you see this to play out incrementally for you? So that's the second question. And lastly, on the reinsurance accepted number, which seems to be 288 crores, have declined year on year. Any major segment like crop or government health or something which led to or your fire getting recognized more in direct, not in reinsurance accepted, led to that decline? And how do we see this number playing out?
Thanks, Sanket. So I think on the OD side, the impact is more on the new vehicles because the pricing, at least in Digit we do, is more related to the burn cost and not directly related to IDV because we translate this to IDV. Obviously, since the festival season was starting, the pricing changes have not been done by anyone in the industry. I think we will revisit this now in November to see that how much the increase in volume has been and can that offset for the loss of the premium due to lower IDV. And that is something we visit. One thing which I may want to add, Sanket, is that our mix is in private car changing substantially because we now have a fairly robust renewal book. So the renewal contribution will keep on increasing as we go forward. And that is why when I mentioned that our OD market share is highest in Q2 is 6.2, this is really driven more by renewals than anything else. Otherwise, as you know, July, August, until 22nd September, they were not really great months from a new business perspective. I think on TP in the commercial vehicle, because we are getting anyway the full input credit, the OD component in TP, as you know, in CV is very, very low. I think it would be less than 13%. Most of the premium is actually TP. So we don't really see any major impact coming in from the drop in the GST. And we also need to keep in mind that the TP, the CV business is more renewals and rollover business rather than new vehicles, where again, it is the pricing is done more on a burn cost basis rather than linking directly to the CV, to the IDV. And in older vehicles, the OD premium would be in single digit, depending upon what kind of a vehicle. Now in reinsurance, I think we have always said that this business is done on a facultative basis, which basically means that we have to see every single risk and then actually see whether the pricing makes sense or not. It is very difficult for us to, I would say, anticipate what this number will be going forward. But all I can assure you is that this business will always be like written like the way we write direct business on a case-to-case basis. And we don't drive this business from a target perspective. So this number has reduced. As we grow more on the direct side, especially on the retail commercial, as the distribution has now become fairly good and we expect it to improve further, I think the component of retail in commercial lines will actually increase, which automatically means that direct side of the business will keep increasing. Have I answered, Sanket, all your three questions?
Yeah, it's understood. And lastly, if I can squeeze one, see, the OPEX trajectory seems to be, means absolute cost seems to be coming down year on year for every quarter. At least I see that benefited your numbers even in the current quarter. So just wanted to understand that 207 crores of OPEX, what you reported, is this trajectory of decline in the OPEX will continue? And if that is the case, then what is the likelihood of the combined we can see for the full year, or do you have any target in your number in your mind to deliver in the current year?
So Sanket, as you know, we don't give any forward guidance. But what I can definitely say is that as we are growing, we obviously continue to invest heavily on the tech piece. And the benefit of that then translates into lower expenses because of higher productivity. So I think the same philosophy will continue. We obviously would want to launch more and more product lines or channels wherever we see opportunity. But based on where we are, all I can say is we don't see any increase or any major change in H2 on the management expense side. So what will it be next year, etc.? I think you are more intelligent than we are in building this into the model. So I'll leave that to you.
Okay, Kamishka. Thanks for your answers. That's it for me, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Hrishikesh Thakkar from ValueQuest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. This is Anirudh from ValueQuest. Couple of things, team, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. But on the growth outlook going ahead, right? So, with the pickup in new sales that we've seen for the past month or so, and with the reports of, you know, health insurance growth also increasing, do you see that going ahead, growth for industry materially improving and thereby our growth, materially improving in the times to come?
So, Anirudh, I would say that, I think the macro indicators are, if you look at definitely on the motor side, and, hopefully on the SME side, that, think also to credit loans, et cetera, that, the growth in H2 should be better than H1. That is the macro sense we have today, and, I'm sure you guys also track this much more closely than we do. So I also feel, we also feel that, under the new MORTH, Motor Vehicle Act, MORTH has actually suggested that the TP hike, premium rate hike, actually go back to where it was. If that happens, that obviously also will be a good news, because as we know, IRDAI has indicated in the recent some increase in the TP rates, which we haven't really seen. So based on macroeconomy, what is happening on motor TP, et cetera, I think we definitely expect H2 to be better in terms of growth for the industry compared to what it has been, say, in H1.
Right. And, what would that mean for competitive intensity going ahead, right? Because intensity seems to have been fairly high, even from the PSU front and all over the last few months. But if overall industry growth improves, does that mean that there should be some ebbing of intensity and thereby benefiting players like us?
So, Anirudh, the way we see it is that, no, we have been seeing this massive market competition incident intensity in the last four years now already post-COVID. And I think if you look at our actual performance, we normally have grown faster than the industry and overall profitability, whether you look at in terms of ROE, you look at in terms of loss ratios, we already covered operational expenses, et cetera. Commissions are obviously driven more from the market side. We are okay at this stage. We don't really worry too much about what is happening, because some things are not in your hands, but how you react to is in your hands, and you don't have to really listen to what I am saying. You just see what our management has really delivered in the last 4 years, especially on without any hike in TP rates, lower new vehicle sales, car sales, especially in the last 2 years, intense pricing competition expired last year in the first 9 months. And so I think all of that will continue to happen, and we have to do what we have to do. But if you ask my personal opinion, I would say the ROE of the industry has been deteriorating. In our February 16th investor meet, and the deck was also uploaded, we had actually shown that a lot of players in the industry have been depending upon massive TP increase, TP reserve release, and also massive capital gains, which they were realizing, which is helping them on the profit side. If you look at our case, I think last year there was hardly any capital gains, but obviously not much capital gains. Motor release this year is just, as I said, in H1, 2-3% than last year. So we will continue to drive growth wherever we see an opportunity, and also look at core profitability, which is not driven by either of the two things. And I would say one of the examples, like, is that if you look at our motor overall business in, say, Q2, is 55% of the gross premium. If you go back 4 years, motor used to be 75%. Out of 75%, commercial vehicle would be 2/3. It's 50% of the overall premium. Now, commercial vehicle is 25% of motor of 55. So if you see it from that perspective, from 45% of gross written premium, CV has actually now fallen close to about 17 to 18% in gross written premium. So the way we can move from one product line to another, I think is something which you can actually see. Second point, I would say in fire and commercial lines, marine liability and fire, as I said, we are growing by more than 50%. So that number also is looking good. And in health, despite having 70% of the premium coming in from employer-employee, if we exclude the government health business in Q2, our loss would have been 80.8. And put this mix, I just said, and any insurance company will actually say their loss ratio will be much more than what it is for us. So we will continue to drive ourselves in this direction, not really worry too much, but hope is that based on what I just explained, looking at from where the profits are coming, my sense is that pricing has to improve as we go forward.
Got it. Thanks. Last question was on this 700 crores of deferred acquisition cost benefit that you mentioned in H2. What would that comparable number be for last year, H2?
We didn't really declare this last year. I think we only declared this Aniruddhan now. So I don't have this number, and we will, going forward, we will declare this, but maybe you may want to connect to our investor team offline to see what this number is. But going forward, we obviously will be declaring this every quarter. And as I said, this has come from suggestion from some of you. And also, we felt that this is a very good bridge to IFRS results in terms of what the profitability is.
Right. Perfect. Sure. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Devish Punjabi from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question was on motor OD in the two-wheeler segment. Like you mentioned, we have been doing well over there and market share has been increasing. It's like 30% of the book. So can you talk about the levers that have led to this, like in terms of the product or pricing, distribution or whatever else it may be?
So I would say, I think one obviously is that on the distribution side, things have been expanding. We are continuously expanding. I think on the OEM side in private car, some of our partners have moved to direct price fetching. Some of them have not. Wherever I think direct price fetching has taken place, we have seen improvement in our market share there. Two-wheeler business, I think because we have been very consistently building this over a longer period, I think we keep on adding more and more partners. More importantly, as I said earlier, and I just want to repeat it, private car portfolio really is driven through renewals. And last year, if you recall, October and November, so Dashera was in October, Navratras, Diwali was in November, there was very massive sales in these 2 months. We have a very strong base coming in from there. So renewals are continuously now increasing in importance for us. So that also helps us to improve and increase our market share. Our agency and retail business also in motor is doing quite well. And that obviously helps also because it also has a very high renewal ratio. So it's really a mix of renewals, some pricing in private car with OEMs which have gone on direct price fetching, and expanding distribution network in OEMs both for two-wheeler and four-wheeler.
So I just had two more questions. One was regarding the group health segment. How is the pricing intensity over there right now? Has it improved? And second is, if the impact of the 1,700 crores of deferred acquisition can be quantified to the P&L for H2, that would be very helpful.
So I already said that 710 crores out of 1,700 crores will unwind in H2. I think on the pricing side, maybe September was slightly better in group health. But I would not really say that the pricing has substantially improved. and that obviously also shows in the loss ratios of all the companies. I think on the employer-employee, we would still not be growing compared to last year, and last year we obviously had degrown. So, but again, I think as an overall premium, this would become hopefully this year 18% to 20% of the gross written premium of the industry. So if the loss ratios continue to go up, and you have also seen in the industry a lot of companies which were benefiting with old tariffs with the hospitals, a lot of that also getting revised. Our sense is that loss ratios which people expect will follow in health. It might not be that if the tariff rates increase are happening, because for a lot of companies, tariffs are getting increased after 3-4 years. So we feel that group health should really see some increase in pricing. And as and when that happens, then we, of course, would be delighted to increase our market share in that segment.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nitesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on motor OD. So in motor OD, we have seen our loss ratios have increased, which we have explained the share of renewal. So in future also, as a share of renewal business is expected to further go up, do you expect further increase in loss ratios?
I think Nitesh, as we have always said that we basically look at loss ratio and acquisition cost together. So in new, as everyone knows, in new cars, the acquisition cost is fairly high, but loss ratios are much lower. In case of renewals, acquisition cost is lower, but loss ratio would be a bit higher. When we put both of them together, the way we drive ourselves is that on that basis, we are actually doing fine. Now, whether the mix will change or not, I would say that we should, all of us are hoping, and I already said that we expect in H2 new vehicle sales to be better than what it was in H1. And if that happens, then obviously the mix could be more towards new vehicles compared to non-new vehicles OD premium. Because as I already said, that first half things were not really that good. Secondly, I think OD claims can also, Nitesh, be very seasonal. And if I just look at, and this is just making a comment for the month of, say, October, if you look at October number of OD claims compared to September, say, for Digit, we have actually seen a reduction in number of claims by roughly about 10-11%. So there will always be a bit of a seasonality, both in terms of claims, which are driven more by flood, or May, which typically is a holiday period where we see very high number of claims, and also what the new vehicle sales will be like. So one can't, in our view assessment, one cannot put all of these into some sort of a projection to say what is likely to happen in Q3 and Q4. Personally, if you ask us, we would be happy that if new business share increase, because we want the economy to do well, we want to write more new vehicle business. So we would not want to be in a situation where new vehicles continues to suffer and we are happy writing more renewals.
Yeah, sure. And can you explain what steps you are taking on the claims front in the motor business in terms of garage network, etc.? And because some of their peers are sharing data that how much of the claims are getting adjusted through their preferred garage network. So if you can speak about the steps that you are taking on the claims front.
Pritesh, I would not try and tell you how we cook the meal. Just look at the loss ratio. And you assume we do nothing. Compare our loss ratios in OD with whichever companies were doing all this steering and discounting and all that stuff. We have seen this story play on the health side. Maybe motor is the new, my CEO is telling me not to say all this. So I would say, Nitesh, whether we look at fraud as an example, and we covered that in detail in February, I think network, obviously, we have much more heft in network, because as I said earlier, our non-dealer channel business is also increasing. So all these things you have to continuously do. Continuously means continuously. I can even tell you we track on a daily basis number of claims in OD seen by a loss assessor. We have this productivity on a daily basis. So all these details which we get into, then it lead to that sort of a outcome which you know, all of us want, and we obviously want to continuously improve. But our nature is not, our philosophy has not been to unnecessarily speak about some of these things. We try and cover this, some of these areas in our annual meet, and we'll obviously cover that. But all these things happen on a continuous basis, and everything is tracked by the management team.
Sure, sir. Very helpful. That's it from my side.
Thank you, Nitesh.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. So a few questions from my side. First, you mentioned that the non-employer-employee mix within group is like 70% currently. If I recall correctly, it used to be more like 80, the employer-employee mix is like 70% currently. If I recall correctly, it used to be like 80-85% few quarters back. So given that your non-employer-employee has increased, just wanted to understand, despite that, the claims ratio on the health part, excluding the government business, is more like stable YOY. So just, you know, on the employer-employee business, given your focus on more small businesses and corporates, how has the loss ratio been trending in that part of the segment? Just want to get some color on that. Second, at the start of the call, you mentioned your motor business growth since, or rather post-GST cuts. But if you were to compare, let's say, festive to festive on an apples-to-apples basis, can you give some color on how the growth rate would be in that case across the auspicious dates? And lastly, in terms of the motor mix you mentioned, just wanted to clarify, is it for the second quarter or first half? And if you can give the corresponding data point for the last year's base.
What is the last question, Dipanjan?
Yes, sir, you mentioned the motor mix between PV, two-wheeler and CV. So just wanted to understand if it's for 2Q or 1H and the same for the last year.
Sure. So last year it was 41% in private car, which has increased to 45%. Two-wheeler was 27% last year, which has increased to 30%. And in CV, it was 32% last year. In this quarter, I'm only giving Q2 figures, which is reduced to 25% this year. Now, in terms of new motor business, I would just maybe want to remind everyone that September 24, we actually had Shraddh during this period. Navratras and Dashera was in October, and if Diwali, I remember offhand, was in 4th of November. So basically, we should not be looking at September to September numbers, because last year was a bit different from that perspective. Now, having said this, when we are looking at the vehicle sales post 22nd September, new vehicle sales, and a lot of this Vahan data is also available, because we have to look at retail sales and not really look at sales which the manufacturers, or the, it is coming from the OEMs. No, so we are not looking at the dealer billing, we are looking at Vahan registrations. So two-wheeler has been very strong, even if you look at October to October comparison this year. Number of two-wheeler sales have been very good. And two-wheeler sales even in the H1 was pretty decent. When we look at private cars, in terms of number of units, there is one big difference which we are seeing, and it is expected to continue, that last year post Diwali the sales had dipped a lot. This year when we talk to dealers and everyone, a lot of cases the inventory is also not there for some of the models which are highly sought. So the expectation from the dealers and everyone is that the next 3-4 days also will be very strong, and people expect that the existing deliveries will continue till 7th of November. So we should ideally compare two-wheelers festival period of last year for this year at least till 7th or 10th of November, rather than just look at this period because of the reasons I have mentioned. Now coming to non-employer employee, I would say that it used to be, as you said, it used to be higher. It has reduced. It's a mix of both reasons, that non-employer employee is actually growing decently, while the other business is the employer employee is not seeing that sort of a growth. However, I would not suggest Dipanjan to see it on a quarter by quarter basis, but one should see it more on a YTD basis. And also in non-employer employee, because of 1/N, we obviously cannot book all the business. So that benefit also doesn't really flow in the combined ratio.
Got it. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thanks, Dipanjan.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vinod Rajamani from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I had two questions more at an industry level. So if I look at the sales of vehicles, I know it's early days yet, but the proportion of the EV vehicles vis-a-vis the ICE vehicles has been rising. It may have played out more in terms of two wheelers, but even in four wheelers, even in passenger vehicles, there is this slight increase in EV vehicles. And the issue with EV vehicles, which the loss assessor says that there is a greater probability of total loss because it's completely sensor based and so on, vis-a-vis say the ICE vehicles. So if this trend continues the proportion of ICE vehicles reducing, do you think the industry is kind of equipped in terms of pricing, because there is a greater chance of total loss in terms of and also the number of moving parts are less, so there would be lesser spare parts and so on. So with regard to EV, that is question number one. So my question is more at an industry level. Do you think the industry is pricing this well? The second is on this health, with the CGHS kind of ruling happening, the price rationalization as far as CGHS is concerned. Do you think the health group, employer-employee, could benefit in terms of lesser kind of lesser issues as far as hospitals are concerned? So these are the two questions I have.
Thanks, Vinod. So I think you have, explained the challenges in electric vehicles well. I think in two-wheeler, if you look at new two-wheelers, have 5 years of TP and 1 year of OD, and the OD premium itself is much lower in percentage or in proportion. So two-wheeler is something where it is a lot more manageable. When we look at cars, I would say electric cars definitely have much higher claims ratio, and especially in case of floods, the repairability becomes much lower, especially if the batteries can't be repaired. And we have seen in case of two-wheelers also that not all manufacturers are in a position to repair the battery. Based on what we see in the market, our sense is a lot of players are not pricing electric cars appropriately. And maybe our market share in electric cars, new cars, is substantially lower than in non-electric cars. So I'm not saying others are wrong or we are right. All I'm saying is, based on our understanding, actually we are seeing reduced market share in new electric cars compared to what we expected it to be or for non-electric cars. Now, on the health side, I think the initiative of the industry to jointly discuss with hospitals rates, I would say, is a very welcome initiative, because this is good both for the hospitals, where there will be transparency in terms of pricing, so they know that what they will get, they don't have to negotiate with individual companies. And for companies also, the disputes will likely to come down. However, we should again keep this in mind that there are more than 12,000-13,000 hospitals. And even if we look at the top 700-800 hospitals, which contribute probably to 35% of the claims, especially in the metropolitan areas, this will take some time for the General Insurance Council to reach. But once it reaches, transparency, I would say, is good for the customers and all players in the industry, and one can then also price it properly. But we are still some time away from reaching some sort of a scale or tipping point where one can say that this will benefit the industry or not.
Yes, thanks for the detailed response, sir. Just one follow-up. How would you kind of, in terms of the loss ratio, say, on an ICE vehicle versus an EV vehicle, how would you kind of, if you had to give a kind of rough number, how would they be, what would be the difference is what I'm interested in knowing?
So we know this will depend upon the what percentage of claims are coming due to floods, essentially.
Understood.
And, So I would say that giving a number would mean that I would have to assume what percentage of claims will come from the floods. But in case of flood-related claims, if I have to put a number, the loss ratio of electric vehicles can in cars can be 20 to 25% higher than non-electric cars.
Thank you, sir. That's something I was interested in.
When it comes. If you want more details, thinking of starting an insurance company, happy to chat on the side.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So I just, I think, wanted to thank everyone for joining the call. This was our sixth quarterly call. And since we have 2 minutes, I'll just want to repeat our philosophy for so that we also, you know, it gets reinforced within us as well as it also gets conveyed to all of you. I think we don't give forecasts not because we don't want to, but because our product mix, etc., changes substantially. We gave you a good indication of this in CV vehicles. We also explained how if pricing goes at slightly at a threshold level for us, then we start seeing very high growth, which we are seeing in commercial lines. Secondly, we this time have declared deferred acquisition cost transparently because in IFRS, this is included. When we look at IFRS ROE or profit, we look at IGAAP profit and add deferred acquisition cost to that and then take 25% profit. So you know clearly that this profit of coming of deferred acquisition cost will actually come. It is for real and it will come in ICAP. The third point which we always do, and maybe I should repeat it, is to say though the premium comes by 1 by N, but we provide all acquisition cost in our quarterly results. There is no liability which is not provided for in terms of 1 by N in our case. Fourth is product mix in motor plays a very important role. We gave you example of two-wheeler business where an increase of roughly about 117 crores compared to last year in Q2. It led to a additional loss of 53 crores because commission has to be provided up front. Fourth, that we always look at core insurance profitability, which basically means normalized TP reserve released and normalized investment income without substantial capital gains, and that is how we continue to drive business. And whether it is direct or inward facultative or whatever, we will always take steps if we find a business or a segment is not giving us the desired profitability. We always take corrective action in those areas. Lastly, we are happy that in Q2, we are now, we have the highest ever market share of 6.2%. So for a company which was seen only a TP player 5 years back, I think our TP and OD market share is coming close. Again, I'm not saying this is good or bad. I'm just saying that how fast the mix can change in case of digit. Thanks everyone for joining the call. Have rest of the good day. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.